Welcome everyone to today's Autistic Moment, a podcast for autistic adults by an autistic adult. My name is Philip King Lowe. I am the owner, producer, and host, and I am an autistic adult. Thank you so very much for listening. Today's Autistic Moment is a member of the Autistic Podcasters Network. Please consider joining the Autistic Podcasters Network on LinkedIn. Today's Autistic Moment is a free podcast that gives autistic adults access to important information, helps us learn about our barriers to discover the strengths and tools we already have to use for the work of self-advocacy. This first segment of today's Autistic Moment is sponsored by the Autism Society of Minnesota, Minnesota's first autism resource. For over 50 years, the Autism Society of Minnesota has been honored to support Minnesota's autism community. Visit them online at ausm.org. Thank you for joining me on this episode, Autistic Mothers Celebrate Mother's Day 2. My guest is Rose Carrero. Please visit todaysautisticmoment.com where you can listen to the podcast, get transcripts, program updates, and read the guest bios pages. Please visit the updated future shows page with the titles, guests, and descriptions of all the shows coming up through October. The transcripts are sponsored by Minnesota Independence College and Community. The transcripts can be read and followed from the website, or you can click on the link provided to be taken to a written document to print and read it there. While visiting the website, please consider supporting the work of Today's Autistic Moment with a financial donation or purchase an item from the logo shop. Please follow Today's Autistic Moment on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Want to chat with me and other listeners? Join Today's Autistic Moment community group page on Facebook. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel at Today's Autistic Moment to watch the most recent episodes of Autistic Voices Roundtable Discussions. Please join my panelists and I on May 24th at 2 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time for Autistic Voices Roundtable Discussions, How Autistics Define Success, on my YouTube channel at Today's Autistic Moment. Success is defined by a culture of ableism, sexism, racism, and the neurotypical majority. Success is measured and determined by capitalism and how much money one earns, and or by the property we own. As autistics, each one of us decides what success means through our autistic identity and talents. Join the panel on May 24th to hear how the panelists define success as autistic individuals. Before I introduce the topic and guest, I want to say a public thank you to the Autism Society of Minnesota for a fantastic 2023 Minnesota Autism Conference. It was a pleasure to meet so many of my new and current listening audience in Minnesota who visited the resource table for today's Autistic Moment. One of the great bonuses this year was that I was able to meet Eric Garcia in person. Eric gave an outstanding keynote address about the past, present, and future of autism policies. You can read much of what he spoke about in his book, We're Not Broken, Changing the Autism Conversation. Last November, you heard my conversation with Nikki Collins about autistic parents raising autistic children. Since May 14th is Mother's Day, this episode is about autistic mothers celebrating Mother's Day too. Rose Carrero is my returning guest for this show. In March of 2022, Rose was my guest for Adult Autistic Women. That episode has been played over 400 times since it was published. I am so happy to have Rose back for this show. Rose was diagnosed after her autistic son was, and since then has been on a journey of being a loving and receptive mother. After this first commercial break, Rose will talk about how accepting her son has been so crucial for her to accept herself. Stay around after the commercial break for this very meaningful conversation. Today's Autistic Moment can be downloaded and heard on most podcast apps including Apple, Google Play, Breaker, CastBox, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Audible, Castro, Overcast, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podcast Chaser. If you are looking for the transcript, go to todaysautisticmoment.com. Click on the episode you want to listen to and follow the directions to find the transcript. Thank you for listening to today's Autistic Moment.
Looking Forward Life Coaching helps change stumbling blocks of life into stepping stones towards success. Life can be complicated, almost like a river. At times there are rapids, and other times it kindly winds along its path. To have a guide as you navigate this river of life is essential. To be encouraged and supportive during both the rapids and calm path is something Looking Forward Life Coaching can provide. We meet one-on-one with our clients within their local community or virtually to provide resources and tools to help survive the rapids and enjoy the calm waters. If this is something you're interested in, please feel free to schedule a free meet and greet. Email us at info@lookingforwardlc.org or call 612-504-7414. We look forward to helping you change stumbling blocks of life into stepping stones towards success.
Rose, welcome back to today's Autistic Moment. It is so wonderful to have you back, and thank you for being here today.
As usual, I'm so happy when we get to exchange, and I am thrilled to do this with you again.
Yeah, definitely. Well, to help my audience, here in the United States anyway, Mother's Day is always in May. Mm-hmm. And so during the month of May, I'm having this conversation with you, Rose, about autistic mothers celebrate Mother's Day too. And then coming in June, I'm going to have another show with Darren Howard, who is an autistic father, and it will be Autistic Fathers Celebrate Father's Day too. Because I want to kind of give my audience, and also those who may be autistic mothers or fathers, some conversation to have about being an autistic mother or an autistic father. I think it's very important to have these conversations because of how we continue to be stereotyped and all the rest. So I'll begin with my first question. as I do always. What important information do you feel that autistic adults and our caregivers need to know when we talk about autistic mothers? So go ahead.
For one, I think the biggest issue is that we, as autistics, we struggle with a lot of stuff, which could be just like communication. We know that communication is a great barrier. So that to remember that when parents are speaking, especially about their children that also have needs or have struggles, that whatever you're going to say about our children, you're saying about us. So every time I hear a parent, a specialist, or even a well-intended family member that says, oh, but, you know, blah, blah, blah about my son, and I look at them and I either get, oh, yeah, but you're not that kind of autistic, which is a whole other issue. But at the same time, I've been that child. I wasn't an adult all the time. So there's that double, you get this, either it knocks you down because, you know, you start believing it, and or it makes you have to defend two people instead of one, because, you know, you're like, you feel like as much as your child's not being seen, you're not being seen. As you know, and sadly, my son is my youngest. He's 20. And so he's finishing his education, I guess you would call it, at 21. And I noticed that, you know, it's not like they've given up, because he does go to a school that it was built for children with disabilities. So it was like the perfect place for him. But it's not really seen as a place for education. It's a place for them to learn life skills, because, well, what are they going to do with education, you know? And so that hit me really hard, because I don't have an education. I wasn't able to, and I wasn't able because I'm not smart enough, but it was because there was beliefs, you know, we were called lazy. You procrastinate. You can't decide. Yes, I know. You're always asking questions and disturbing everybody. Well, if I don't ask, I don't know, then I can advance. So I started being quiet and therefore, you know, became invisible. So it's brought back a lot of my struggles. And there's still the struggles of a lot of the younger generation. So it becomes, like I said, you're constantly faced with the reality of what people still can perceive about autistics. And there's no barrier. Like you don't get a shield. Like I shield my child from a lot of stuff, you know, but as a parent, you don't have that shield. And then as a vulnerable parent, because you are facing often your worst fears as a person, as an adult, because you're like, no, I wonder if I'm weird. And you're like, you know, your child can be a little weird at times. And you're like, okay. It's painful and it's exhausting. And it's often done alone. A lot of parents are autistic. Either two things are like, oh, well, you know what you're talking about. I can't help you. Or they don't see the big deal. You know, I go see my children's teacher, you know, they tell me that he, you know, talks too much in class. And so they'll minimize it, because I'm assuming they're trying to normalize it. Like, you know, don't worry, we understand. And you're like, yeah, no. So it's very lonely. So it's just to remember that we have extra struggles, that we want them or not. Even when I come prepared and I know my stuff, I have to prove it. I have to prove that what I'm saying is real and correct. And even though I'm autistic, it's still, yes, but the education says this. Yes, but the specialist said this. So you have to, you're like battling a whole bunch of people when you shouldn't have to, when you're just trying to get the best thing for your child. And remember that if we are in trouble in the sense that we're out of spoons or out of strength, that it's okay to, you know, ask us what you can do. Can you do something? And, you know, maybe you can't, but sometimes just knowing that, you know, we used to laugh. I kid you not, when parents would say, I have to go do a PSI. Is that what you guys call it? Because I know in English and in French is different. It's a, you know, to tell you how your child's going to behave and everything, or what they're going to do for your kid. And we actually had to be there for parents when they came back, because they would come back in tears and devastated. And we knew what that was like. So, I mean, I as a parent, I have other children. I never had to do that with my other kids when I went to see their teachers. Or, you know, it was like, yeah, okay, yes, I know. Okay. So, but now it's like, you're given a list of what your child hasn't yet accomplished. And so you're going, yeah, I know. I half of those things I haven't accomplished either, by the way. And, you know, and they're going, yeah, but, you know, if he wants to be a part of society and, you know, contribute, well, he needs these things. And I'm like, I don't even have those things. How am I supposed to, you know? So it becomes, a lot of parents feel like we're defending our younger selves and our children. And it's constantly.
Yeah. One of the things I'm interested in, Rose, is the relationship you have with your autistic son, and your other children. How is that? How does that work as an autistic mother? Talk a little bit about how that works for you.
I've come to understand my oldest is 31 and my youngest, like I said, is 20. I've come to understand that all my children are neurodiverse in their own way. So there's that. Because I'm autistic, I'm also very, contrary to belief, very empathetic. And so I could understand the needs when people just saw wants. I think that was my big, you know, when I see a child having a meltdown or tantrum, because they're like, you know, I see a child distressed. I see a child that needs to feel safe somehow, to feel that there's a plan, there's something that they either have control over or whatever. And because I lived that a lot, I automatically gave that to my kids as the first thing. And I think that helped them to be able to be themselves and be okay with it, because mom's like that. And, you know, she accepts herself, and we do things that are weird around mom, and mom doesn't think they're weird at all. So it gave them a sense of security. And as an autistic parent, that was my best tool for them. That was the best. I've never been a parent that tells you, you got to do this. My kids didn't have chores. My kids lended a hand when we needed it. My kids weren't told, you know, I never gave them a time frame, because I knew that I couldn't work in a time frame like everybody else. I could not. So it was automatically allowing them to just be. And I do believe it's because I'm autistic. I'm only okay when I can be myself.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to give them a place to start off with, a foundation that said, even if other people don't get it, it's still okay to be yourself.
Yeah.
I think that was it. Of course, there was that other side that I understood my kids' need for stemming. I understood my kids. I understood them what a meltdown was. I remember the first time my son had a meltdown in public, and people would come say things to me like, you know, give him for a week and you'll see he won't do these things anymore, you know? And right away, I couldn't understand how other people didn't see it as what it really is, a child that is just not in a good place and not that he's being disrespectful, right, or that we're not, you know, raising him properly. And so that allowed my children to be able to have a meltdown without shame, which is a huge thing, at least for me and for the autistics that I've talked about, that once when you're in that meltdown and you come off of it, and it lasts longer because now you have to face whatever you've done or not done. And I'm a self-harmer, so I've done, you know, so it was like, and I could not tell anybody at that point because I knew nobody that would understand me. So I wanted my children to know that I understood and that I would still be there. I would not, you know, I guess I gave them what as the autistic child that I was would have needed.
Right. Back in November, I interviewed Nikki Collins, and it was, again, autistic parents raising autistic children. And one of the things that Nikki said that I find very interesting, she says, sometimes our triggers can be our children's triggers and the other way around as well. And sometimes she finds that her triggers and the triggers of her autistic child are clashing. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk about some of that for yourself?
Yeah, I've heard that too. I was actually, our situation was funny, if we can call it that way, whereas my soothers were my son's triggers and my son's soothers were my triggers. So yeah, that was, that needed how can I say this, some out of the box thinking. So like me, music just soothes me, and the louder, the better. And my son does not want that. So my son would come and turn it off. So I had to find, I couldn't put earphones on because in case he needed me and called me. So we found those outside ear things where I can have my music privately and he can have his peace privately. And it's when he, because he walks, when he's very, he needs to figure things out. He walks and he walks very heavy. And for some reason that triggers me. It makes me panic. So I've asked them, well, we talked about how sound and how downstairs, if he does that, it doesn't do that scary sound for mom. So he got like, oh, okay. We found, you know, I can do it there and it's still satisfying for him. So it, in a way, it was difficult because, you know, like I said, sometimes you're like, oh, okay. But at other times you're like, it showed us that you can adapt the house. You can, I mean, autistics are adaptable. We are. Yeah. That thing of being rigid. We're not rigid. We're rigid when things make sense. But if something, someone brings something to us, we are also quick to say, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. And it just becomes because the logic is there. So there's no need to like work it in. It just does. So yeah, that is like, it is. It can be a blessing, and it can be on certain days. And that's when other people can step in. That's when other people can say, you know, he needs this. So you know what? You do you for a couple of minutes, and I'll go there. So support is important. And honesty. I tell my son, you know, oh my God, what you're doing? I call it a 10. When I'm at a 10, that means that for mom, it's just like too much. And so he'll, so cute, you know, do like a tiptoe, so he's a little lighter. And I go, but no, but that's okay. That's for you. You need it. You're good. Mommy, I'm just telling you, if you see me react, this is why. It's not you. It's me. And it led me to, why does this trigger me? And then when I went through triggers, they're still there. But at least now I feel like I have a bit of control, which allows us to, you know, have that time of stepping back before we're just like gobbed up in it. And I also was able to pass that to Lucas to say, you remember when you saw mommy do that and it was too much? I think this is too much for you. So it was, he got to see someone else be triggered and how they dealt with it. So like, and my son too sometimes will do things and I'm like, what a great idea. Yeah, next time that's what I'm going to do too. So it's different being an autistic parent.
Yeah.
It is very different. Yeah. But I don't think it's more difficult. I don't think I get beaten by his autism over mine. Vulnerability is the importance. So whoever is the most vulnerable is the person that I guess gets to go first on making themselves feel as they need to be able to function. So sometimes it's mom and sometimes it's not. And that's okay. So, but I definitely understand, especially when they're younger, the need for you. And sometimes you don't have those spoons to give them. You don't. And of course it goes on to, you feel like you're failing them. And, you know, if you weren't autistic, you would be able to do this because the other parents handle it. So it adds on. But once you have to get to a point that you really believe that you're doing the best that you can at that moment. Maybe not the best right. of your life, right. but at that moment. And that's okay. That's okay. Yeah.
After this next commercial break, Rose will talk about the lack of educational resources for autistic mothers and why it is important that autistic mothers accept their children's needs so that they can accept and look after their own autistic needs. Please stay tuned. Support for today's Autistic Moment comes from Best Care Home Care Agency. Best Care offers PCA Choice, homemaking, and 245D services throughout the metro and greater Minnesota. Visit their website, bestcaremn.com, to learn more about their services.
Hello, autism community. My name is Lisa Morgan. I'm an autistic adult too, and I know firsthand what it feels like to be unintentionally harmed by well-meaning professionals when reaching out for help. My passion is to help autistic people find and use their own unique strengths to help themselves. Are you rule-based, a literal thinker, have a focused interest? Let's figure out together how to use the strengths of autism to find solutions. I offer life coaching for autistic adults and individualized workshops for professionals. To find out more, go to autismcrisissupport.com.
The Minnesota Autism Conference was a great experience. I am running a Minnesota Autism Conference sale for everyone through May 31st. Whether you attended the conference or not, buy a 16-ounce drinking cup for $7.55, including sales tax, shipping and handling not included. Enter the code you will find at the logo shop on todaysautisticmoment.com and receive a 10% discount. The logo lapel pins are also being offered at the low price of $6.47, including sales tax. Shipping and handling is not included. Enter the code you find at Today's Autistic Moment and receive a 10% discount. Hurry to get yours by May 31st to get these at a reduced cost. Please click on Support Today's Autistic Moment and make a donation to help this podcast stay on the air for autistic adults and their caregivers. Thank you for listening to and supporting today's Autistic Moment. What are the barriers for autistic mothers? And we've talked about a lot of these. We've talked about, socially, forgive me a second. The social connections that you have, that you make. And again, it goes back to what you and I talked about over a year ago, is the perception of autistic women. And so I have to ask this question, because how does that perception often impact being an autistic mother? You know, I mean, you've talked about it, and actually my two guests this past March talked about it, that there are those perceptions that happen, and there are those moments of what Carol Jean Whittington calls neurodistinct burnout. You know, that's how she uses the word. And she said part of what is so difficult for her is learning her own sensory profile and learning to adapt that to whatever she happens to be doing. So I'm sure you can speak to a lot of that. So go ahead.
I agree. You do. That's the, I think what disadvantaged women a lot was that a lot of us got looked over, because the criteria at that point was they were looking for one thing, and that if we weren't that, then, we got looked over. And so then we either get, now you think you're autistic because your child's autistic. That's all, so we get that belittled. And then it was, but you're not the same kind of autistic, because, I mean, obviously you raised kids. So, you don't need that kind of help.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot of, and that would trigger stuff in me. So there, as much as I need to learn who I am, and I've been doing that, I also need to know how some of the struggles I had weren't my struggles. They were things that were put in front of me that were not made for me. And because I didn't have another option, it was difficult to do. Right. So I know we've done, me and my partner, we did parent group conferences or seminars that learn about, it was actually called Living Life Through the Eyes of Your Child, Your Autistic Child. And most of it didn't make sense to me. Most of it, I was looking like, ouch, no. But it was weird, because nobody else seemed to see this. And then this autistic dad spoke up and started saying that, and he was diagnosed. And right away, everybody's like, oh, yes, go ahead, tell us. So when I got diagnosed, I was like, finally, okay, someone's going to listen to when I say something. Yeah, no, that didn't work out either. So there's an imbalance, and I'm not sure why, if it's because I think we're great mimickers, because I think we are given tools very, very, very young, like brooms and pans and all that, that we can look around and see other people, we could see other people using, I always say my partner used to play Cowboys and Indians. It's not like he was looking at, sorry for that word, completely in that point. And I was like, and you were going to grow up to be what, a cowboy? No, it was just for fun. Well, we didn't have that for fun. A lot of us didn't. It was jobs, our work. We had dolls we had to feed and change their diapers. We had brooms and let's say bowls to wash and make the food on those kitchen. And there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. And it gave us an advantage, because when we grew up, we knew that the stove, we knew what it was for. But at the same time, it's almost like we become a marginalized in the autism community, because obviously we can do this, 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 and this, but they don't understand that it's just automatic. It's not, I understand. It takes me years to understand what people meant by things. I understood what they were saying. The words were very clear, but the intent that they meant it in was not. So it takes time to untake it apart and say, No, actually, this is society's misrepresentation of whatever. And because of that, I'm struggling. If you remove that away from me, I'm going to struggle probably for other things, but that won't be as big as a struggle. And it will maybe allow me to find better ways, easier ways, so that it becomes even less of a struggle. So I associate a lot with, especially now, the transgender, because there's even a division in the transgender between trans women, trans men. And it's like, I want to say, okay, this is isolated, but it's not. And it makes our ability to be seen, it takes longer. We have to do more to be seen.
Right.
That's how I feel.
And let's also say that it's not like there is a whole lot of educational opportunities or opportunities to learn. I mean, you learn in schools and various things about being a parent or a mother or father, but it's not like they actually have these moments. So, you know, what if you happen to be an autistic mother? You know, they don't have these things to sort of give you some sense about what you're going to do. And I mean, it's not like a lot of the schools that assist autistic children are going to necessarily have these resources. I mean, the lack of those resources affects every part of the neurodivergent communities. But because we focus on autistic adults here, you know, again, it's not like there's these organizations or people or teachers out there to help autistic mothers, you know, learn how to be an autistic mother and you know, to really work with that. So I'm sure you can say a lot to that.
I fully agree. I've always felt a bit like the weird parent because of the fact that I you know, punishment for me didn't make sense. It never made sense. So, you know, I would do a lot of things and I became insecure because, you know, Freud and this doctor and this psychologist said this and you know, you have to do this and if you don't do that. And so I had the sense of that what I thought being a mother was going to turn my children into this delinquent because when I started looking at the books, because I went to study in early childhood education and the books made it for an autistic, it didn't make sense. It's kind of so weird. And I have to say as an autistic, because everybody else that was in the class kind of like, were like, okay, yeah, we agree. And I'm like, yeah, no, you know, like I said, tantrums, people have this first thing, meltdowns and tantrums were interchanged. And then people are like, oh no, they're not a brat. It's a meltdown, not a tantrum. And I was like, okay, either way, the child's not a brat. So I'm like trying to, I wish I had parents saying, you know what, you feel like that? I did too. I think that this is just a child that's struggling. I don't think that, you know, what society told us that we should do would be right for us and that child and our home. So I wish we had mentor groups. I keep talking about AA as in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I go, you know, we could do the AU so that it's, you know, people who have gone through it, who have that experience and that knowledge, helping the first timers, helping them, just supporting them, even if it's not giving information, but saying, you know, I understand that I've been there and you know what? Yes, it's doable. It's doable. So I don't know. I agree with you. I've been trying for years to get the schools around me to get me to bring me in and talk to the teachers as an autistic. I don't want to tell you what to do. I'm just going to explain what I call autistic tidbits. So I will tell you things about autistics that we need. Then it's you to figure out how do you provide that to people. I'm not going to tell you, when you see an autistic, do this. You know, or if you see a meltdown, do this. No. I'm going to tell you, well, each person, you're going to ask them, okay, when you're not, if you're feeling like you're going to go there, what do you need from me? Do you need, you know, and listen, and respect that. I think it would avoid so much trauma. I think the need for ABA therapies, parents would see that they don't need that. They don't need that. I was convinced by people who knew more than me that my son needed ABA. It didn't take long that I saw so clearly the negative impact. And then when I try to say it, I get, we know what we're doing. Yeah. And then when I'm a parent as an autistic and I say, and they're like, yeah, but it's always been done like this. And so we're kind of like shushed and diminished no matter where we stand. You know, if I was too autistic, then I wouldn't be, you know, capable of taking good decisions for my children. If I'm not enough autistic, well, then am I really understanding my children? Yeah. And you're like, yes, yes, yes. And I wish people would give us so much more chances. And I'm grateful. But it took an autistic to say, you know what? I'm going to help other autistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I hate that presumption of incompetence. That comes from both angles. There's the one that says that, you know, if you are autistic, you are incompetent in this, 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 and that. And if you are competent in those things, there's a presumption that you can't possibly be, because autistics are incompetent in this criteria. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the option for neurodiversity in there is just so, you know, being autistic is not linear. It's not linear. It's a sphere, and everybody fits into that sphere regardless of what, you know, what they can and can't do. But to help, you know, both caregivers and society as a whole to understand that we are not limited to a set of stereotypes. Each of us is different. Some of us can understand the science of the world, while other people can do mathematics about as brilliant as they can do it. Some are fantastic authors. Others are just amazing analysts who figure out, you know, the distance between one place and another. They can do all those things. It's not a matter of how intelligent or unintelligent it is. And in my do's and don'ts page on today's Autistic Moment, I specifically say the problem with the low functioning label is that the presumption of incompetence that is devastating to the individual and the caregiver. That that is absolutely, and it's cruel. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, these presumptions of incompetence. If you're autistic, you must not be able to be a mother because there are these things you can't do. Or if you are, but you can do, you know, you say you can do whatever the good things you can do, then you might be faking. You know, that's why the functioning labels, I've said this before, the functioning labels and all of that, the criteria that's done by medical diagnoses. I'm just going to tell my audience and you that this upcoming October, I am going to have a terrific guest. It's going to be Nick Walker, the author of Neuroqueer Heresies. And one of the things that Nick has done is talked about the pathological paradigm versus the neurodiversity paradigm. And these are the two spheres and why the neurodiversity paradigm is so very important, because it outlines the fact that we're not just a matter of a medical prognosis or a medical pathology. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the neurodiversity that says we are just different, not disordered. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of that's kind of coming up in the fall, and I'm looking so forward to having Nick talk in the fall. Now I want to talk about my famous, you know, what steps do autistic adults and our supporters need to take to advocate for the needs of autistic mothers here is where I kind of want to shift our focus a little bit, Rose.
Okay.
What's so awesome about being an autistic mother? I mean, there are these, I mean, I know we have those things that are problematic, and I don't doubt that, but there are some things about being an autistic mother that must be awesome. Awesome. So let's talk about those. And to my audience who hears this, I want you to think about that part of the advocacy that I'm talking about for all the stuff that I do on Today's Autistic Moment is about emphasizing the positives, the things that we excel at. So go ahead, Rose.
That's great. I'm very curious. And I think a lot of autistics are for different reasons. I think we like to know things. So I'm constantly trying stuff out and looking into things and discussing things. So it brings so much diversity to my kids. And I'm an artist, so I'm constantly creating. And so I think that allows that innocence when we're small, that everything is so wondrous. I have that to this day. And I think a lot of autistics do, actually. So it's contagious. It's contagious. So I have my kids going, "Mom, you know who's the best chess player? And did you know that him and Bobby Fischer?" And he doesn't even play chess, this child, but it was new and it was extraordinary. So he wanted to share it. And we do discuss heavy things, but I think allowing my children to be, because that's how I find you discover yourself. I think we're someone who, even if we don't want to look at ourselves, we are constantly looking at ourselves and trying to figure out stuff. So that makes us very aware. And that's another thing. I think I am very, being empathetic is rough, but it also makes it that my children have never come to me and said something. And I said, "Oh, honey, it's just a crush. Don't worry about it." Do you know, because to me, emotions are so big and so valid that's what I brought forth to my children was speak your truth and validate when other people are speaking their truth. Mm. So that was like my superpowers that I passed on to my kids. So, and I think we're probably very goofy. We're allowed to be goofy, and that too I think is a wonderful thing to give to your kids, that growing up doesn't exist really. We just get older. We all think we're still like 20 or whatever in our heads. We're like, "Are you sure I'm an adult?" I allowed my children to see my vulnerability because I don't know how not to be vulnerable. I am vulnerable at times, and so. And I wasn't less of a human to them. They could see my strengths. I think that's another thing. We show, we don't have a choice, that we are who we are. So we show them what a human looks like really looks like. A lot of us grew up with parents where if they were talking about things, well, the children didn't know. And, you know, "Oh, now it's adult time. You know, you'll understand when you get older." That was like that famous thing, because I'm still waiting to get older. Apparently I'm not old enough for certain things. And I think that was I allow my children to question. I allow my children to define themselves. And I think a lot of autistics are just like that. We're just like that. It's natural to us. So it puts our children at ease. And I'm not saying there's not, because we're humans. We have to, as much as autism brings these wonderful aspects and these challenges, there's also our history, our upbringing that we have to go through and we have to deal with. And sometimes, you know, we can have moments that we're just sucky people. And it has nothing to do with autism. It's just as a human. But because it is who we are, and regardless what some people may think, you know, "Don't let your autism win today." And you're like, "Yeah, okay." Everything that is in my life is affected because I'm autistic. I don't know how to look at things without seeing it through my autistic eyes and going through my autistic brain.
Right. So, yeah. Yeah. No. That's true. As autistics, we really can't think or respond as a neurotypical person, because we're not. You'll hear Becky Laurie Hector and several others of my guests also talk about that we make the conversations about what being autistic means, we normalize those conversations so that it's not the unusual, the whatever, but we normalize it, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah. The thing is, as an autistic mother with an autistic son, it's a normal conversation between you and him. And yeah. So part of what you do is you help show what can happen when you normalize those conversations.
I fully agree. Allowing myself to be myself is allowing my son and my children to be themselves. But again, that had to be worked on, because you need a safe space to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times, a lot of us didn't grow up in that safe space, either at home or at school or even now at work. So you can't be yourself. So you can't even live your truth daily, constantly. And that eats you up. So as a mom at home, I was lucky that I was able to I'm in my house, so I can have my safe space. I created my safe space, and by proxy, my children got that safe space. And so, yes, because being, you know, we listen to cartoons all day, all the time. We script like everybody scripts, but yep. It's my youngest son that started that. It's my youngest son that would script his emotions out. And now we find ourselves doing it, and all of us know whatever we script, we all know where we are. We all understand what's going on. And right away it becomes, oh, or yes, you know, it like you said, it becomes typical in our house to be neurodiverse, which is very weird to say. Yeah. But that's my goal. My goal is that when you look at us, you don't see, like you said, levels or lists. You see Philip and you see Rose and you see, you know, that's it. Yeah. You were saying that, you know, it's not a linear. Not only is it not linear, and yes, it's round, but even our struggles are not static. You know, there's some things I will at one point be really good at, and for whatever reason, a year later, I'm going to struggle with it. And there is reasons. Is it I'm running out of spoons? Is it because I don't have, you know, support? So it's to go, okay, not, oh, you regressed. I've heard that one. You regressed. You're more autistic. And you're like, no, it's the what's going on around me, the support that I had or whatever I had that was enabling me to do these things is not there or not to the point that I need it. And that's what I meant when I said, sometimes society will add things that make your life difficult as an autistic. And it's not because they're trying to be mean or they're not aware. They're not aware of, if you put a ramp, everybody can go up. If you put stairs, not everybody can go up.
Right. After this final commercial break, Rose will talk about how she celebrates Mother's Day, followed by today's Autistic Community Bulletin Board. Please stay tuned.
Support comes from Minnesota Independence College and Community, a life and career skills program for young adults with autism and learning differences. help a young adult take a step towards their independence and a vibrant life. Learn more at miccommunity.org.
On May 21st, Eric Garcia returns to Today's Autistic Moment to talk about unmasking your authentic autistic self. Eric is the author of We're Not Broken, Changing the Autism Conversation. Eric will discuss the risks of unmasking for autistics and why unmasking is so challenging. Eric will also talk about what is happening with all the anti-trans bills being passed around the country and the consequences they are making for autistics to unmask. Dr. Devin Price will join me for our Pride Month special episode on June 4th, what successfully autistic and queer really means. When most people hear the words successfully autistic and queer, they digress to what those words mean from a neurotypical, ableist, and straight point of view of what success is. Dr. Devin Price, who is the author of the books Unmasking Autism, Discovering the New Faces of Neurodiversity, and Laziness Does Not Exist, will talk about what being successful and as autistics and queer really means. On June 18th, I will be joined by Darren Howard, who is the Deputy Director at the Autism Society of Minnesota, for the episode Autistic Fathers Celebrate Father's Day 2. In a society where neurotypicals are quote normal, and ableism is accepted on a conscious and subconscious level, a father is the masculine breadwinner in the family who is a model of self-discipline and ingenuity. Darren will talk about what being an autistic father means for him. July and August will be the second annual Summer of Self-Care series with shows about creating good boundaries, self-care during emotional avalanches, self-care for an autistic diagnosis or identification, and autistics transitioning to adulthood. Check out the future shows page on todaysautisticmoment.com for all upcoming shows. Thank you for listening to Today's Autistic Moment. Sort of wrap this up by answering the question. Okay. When you celebrate Mother's Day, what do you celebrate?
Our time together.
Yeah.
Our time together. I know that I tell my kids, if you want to give me a gift, tell me a memory that of us that you enjoyed. Mm. Tell me when, you know, so that I can hear back those great moments because, you know, I mean, we don't remember them all. And I know there's so many. There were so many. So that's my gift. My gift is I get to see them. We get to make memories. And do I get today's gift? Rarely. Do I care? Not really. Right. Because, I mean, I don't say no to gifts. But to me, the gift is sitting down and talking about us as children. And so that's how I celebrate it. I like telling other moms things about them as a mother that I witnessed, and it brought joy to me. So that's my way to celebrating moms and dads.
yeah. Let's please take care of one stigma that is a constant one that runs amok, I'm going to say. Okay. The one that says that autistic children do not tell or show their mothers that they love them. Can we please dispel that one?
Oh God, yes. I can tell you, I have two siblings, and as the only autistic daughter, my mom got so many gifts from me. She laughs to this day because it's like, and my children are constantly either, like I said, neurodiverse. I have a daughter who we've discussed this. She knows that she's autistic. She just doesn't have the diagnosis. But either way, all my children are these kissy kissy, huggy huggy. We're constantly holding hands. We're constantly, because to us, we're safe. So if your children aren't, and I say your children, if there's someone in your life that is having a hard time going towards you, it's not that they don't want, probably, it's that they don't know how. And so, and there's also, I'm going to say, a lot of parents have expectations of what saying, "Mama, I love you." They love me. Yes, but that those two times they hit you on the head with their head softly, that was an "I love you too." Mm. So it's what, you know, let's talk about how autistics love and how we show love. Right. You know, breaking a toy in half and giving half to you. I did that. That was my way to show love when I was small. It just made sense to me.
yeah. And you know, all of us autistics, we are unique. We do have our ways of saying things. Sometimes if your autistic child is comfortable stimming in front of you, that's actually a sign that your autistic child feels safe with you.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And if your child isn't stimming and is constantly stimming on their own, you might want to think of a way of letting them know that you're a safe person to stim with, that they don't feel like they're doing anything wrong. You know, my podcast over the last few months has been described as a safe space for autistic adults to share their points of view. And if you want to start to make your home a place where your autistic child will feel like it's home, you need to start with listening to your child's voice or concerns. Don't make them feel like they're that unusual, and don't make them feel like they're asking something wrong. Give them that sense that they're in a safe space where they can be themselves and feel like you are receptive to them, even if they aren't everything you would like them to be. Recognizing they're unique. You know, I think you're right. I think the expectations of some is just assuming that if it's not the way you think it should be, then it's not occurring. And if there's one thing autistics can certainly do, is you'll find that once they find that way of feeling like they're safe with you, they will actually exceed your expectations. Right?
Oh, yes. I fully agree. We live this. You're talking about it. We live this. My son was having continuous meltdowns. Everything was just so much for him. And for reasons, he lost all services in school and everything. And he came home for a year. And then COVID hit. And so it extended. And I did it. I made it my mission to make him as safe as possible. And we haven't had a meltdown in over a year.
Right.
Everybody keeps saying, like, he goes to school now, he goes to he does this work program, and that's all I did. That's all we did, was give him a place. When he has a meltdown, trust him. When they're struggling and even self-harming, trust them. Trust him, trust her, that she is doing the best she can the moment. It's not a don't, it's I can't. And that was another big thing. Believe that they're They're not doing this to piss you off. They're not doing this to be difficult. Believe in the innocence of that hurt. It's not about the parents too. I know parents get slapped a lot, especially when your children are having meltdowns, you're kicked, you're bitten. I believe me, I know all of that, but it's not personal. It's
right.
Not.
No,
it's just someone struggling enormously, but yeah. They can do this. They can do this. If you support them and you make, like you said, make them feel safe and make them feel okay and accepted, they will, those meltdowns are going to go down. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
So I agree that dismissing or taking apart these ideas of, so many times I see parents going, he only has 2 hours on the iPad and the rest of the time, no, he's going to go do other things. And I'm telling you, I get goosebumps because I'm like, but I think of me, my books were my safe space. And if someone had told me you only get 2 hours a day to read, I would have been depressed. I would have been.
Yeah.
So it's, those things, don't worry. Believe in your child. Your child is helping himself. He is. This, what he's doing is actually making him grow. So there's safe means a lot of things. And I think that's another thing. Parents think safety means there's a lock on the door. We look after them. They have what they need, but usually those are physical needs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And autistic needs are what they are. And we're getting to the end of this conversations, but Zephyr James said this way back when I did my first show with her about COVID-19. And I remember Zephyr saying that every time we seem to want to have this conversation about addressing our autistic needs, comes this, we're talking about other things right now. We're addressing other things right now. And Zephyr said appropriately, and I think it's worth repeating, it is always a good idea to prioritize your autistic needs. And the last piece of advice that I'm going to leave is that you need to help your autistic child. And if you happen to be a neurotypical son who has an autistic parent, you need to let them know that it is okay for them to prioritize their autistic needs. You will not get anywhere by invalidating them. You will not help them by saying they're not important or whatever. Their needs are important because this is how they look after themselves. This upcoming summer, I'm going to have some guests on we are finally going to have a conversation about self-care after being late identified or diagnosed, because there is such a need for people to know how they can look after themselves. Part of that looking after yourself is giving yourself permission to just be your best autistic self. And to put it plainly, the hell with everybody else. So
self-acceptance.
Well, Rose, thank you so much for coming on. When you come on, you really do talk from the heart. I feel it. I hear it. And it's so important that people hear this. And to my many autistic mothers, keep believing in yourself and what you're doing, and reach out to the communities where you can find your support. But as I've often said, don't let anybody tell you that because they're autistic, you're any less human or any less important than anybody else, because that's simply not true. And unfortunately, we do internalize those messages. But you don't, the thing is, let them go, deal with them, focus, deal with them. But it's okay to feel good about being autistic. It's imperative that you would recognize it's, how wonderful it is to be autistic. And whether you're a child or an adult parent or not, you matter. So I think that's how we need to end this today. So Rose, thank you for being on today. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to say that everything you said was perfectly said. It is exactly where that's that step that we need to take to all of us. We need to make sure that we're all on that step, that we all are allowed and have the place to be who we are proudly. Not, you don't have to be proud of yourself all the time, but I fully agree. It was well said. And I have to say, thank you again for inviting me. This is always so much fun to exchange with you and be able to offer my point, my little autistic tidbit.
Yeah. And you do it very well. Like I said, my audience receives it very well. I know they do. All right. You're welcome. Today's Autistic Community Bulletin Board. All of these events with their links can be found at todaysautisticmoment.com/bulletin board. Join the Autism Society of Minnesota for their Adult Coffee Club. The next coffee clubs will be on Tuesday nights from 5 to 7 p.m. at Dogwood Coffee in St. Paul on May 16th, June 6th, June 20th, July 11th, July 25th, August 8th, and August 22nd. Coffee clubs will also be available at the Milkweed Cafe in Minneapolis on Monday, May 8th from 5 to 7 p.m. Please RSVP at AUSM.org. Understanding Autism virtual classes will be offered by the Autism Society of Minnesota. These classes are perfect for autistic individuals, caregivers, those who want to understand the basics of autism and support autistic people. Classes will be held on May 15th from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Classes are free of charge, but you must register to attend. On May 9th, 2023, beginning at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Dana Nelson will present a virtual skill shop at the Autism Society Minnesota entitled Communication Differences and Conflict Resolution. Communication differences for autistic people can be very challenging to navigate when there are social nuances, lack of directness, confusing body language, and difficulty understanding receptive and or expressive communication. During this skill shop, we will discuss differences in communication and the nuances behind them. You will learn proactive strategies for communicating effectively and resolving conflict when there is a disconnect. Join the Autism Society of Minnesota for the 23rd annual Steps for Autism in Minnesota on Sunday, May 21st, beginning at 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the Como Park Lakeside Pavilion, located at 1360 Lexington Parkway North in St. Paul, Minnesota. All of the money raised goes towards autism organizations in Minnesota. For more information, including the summer recreation catalog with all of the sensory-friendly activities at the Autism Society of Minnesota, go to AUSM.org. Matthew, the hashtag #ActuallyAutistic coach, has room in his Finding Your Autistic Self group coaching groups. In the groups, participants learn about unmasking strategies, coping tools, and burnout and post-burnout support, and much more. Go to autisticcoach.com and click on Autism Groups for more information. Today's Autistic Moment is sponsored in part by Looking Forward Life Coaching. Looking Forward turns stumbling blocks into stepping stones towards success. Go to lookingforwardlc.org for more information. Today's Autistic Moment is here because of the generosity of the sponsors and supporters. Please join the supporters by clicking on Support Today's Autistic Moment on todaysautisticmoment.com. If you work for a company and or organization that supports autistic adults and the Movement for Neurodiversity, I would love to have you sponsor ads on the show. If you would like to sponsor an ad and or have questions about today's Autistic Moment, please send an email to todaysautisticmoment@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to today's Autistic Moment, a podcast for autistic adults by an autistic adult. May you have an autistically amazing day. All of the guests meet with me on Zoom to record the interviews. The podcast is created and prepared on Spotify for Podcasters. The music that you hear is licensed to Today's Autistic Moment by PremiumBeat.com.